Hi, and welcome to Coffee and Pearls, 15 minutes of wisdom for Catholic moms. I'm Sterling Jakewith, and today we're talking about meal planning. This is a question that I get a lot. And I completely understand that. It's because, you know, as moms, we feel overwhelmed and we're like, we just need something to be more simple. And we think, wow, food is such a huge part of our day. In our week, if we could just streamline that, then things would be okay. And you are correct, actually. If you had routines around food and you stopped asking yourself literally every meal, what are we going to be eating? You would conserve that energy and that willpower and really your brain power for something else. And so I put together my 10 tips for meal planning. And they're pretty flexible because people eat very differently. So we tend to eat a very paleo kind of way, which is, you know, low carbs. Really what it is just we don't do much gluten. We're mostly a meat and veggies and potatoes kind of family. But it doesn't matter what you eat because these rules really can apply to any type of diet that you have. But the important thing is to look for ways to really simplify it. You know, we have this idea that food needs to be fun and we need to change it up. But there's a reason why you remember like Meatloaf Mondays or Taco Tuesdays from when you were growing up, because moms back then were like, what? I'm not making you different things. They made like 10 things over and over and over again, and that was it. And you had childhood favorites around those, and you had things that you didn't like, but your mom was not trying to impress you all the time with these grand meals, probably. And, or certainly her mom wasn't. And so we've gotten kind of caught up with how many choices we have and how many awesome recipes are out there. And there are, but we don't live in a Pinterest world, or we ought not to. And so we've got to keep things simple. So rule number one, I'm going to say guideline or suggestion number one. Rule feels a little bit too stringent. Suggestion number one, ABT. Always be thawing, okay? You should have lots of meat in your freezer or buying it on sale, and you should always have like 3 days worth of meat thawing if it's frozen. So we tend to buy things on sale and we have a lot of things in our freezer, but then of course I can't pop up at 4 or 5 and pull something out and make it. And so we're always have 3 things of meat, and they may even be the same thing, like ground beef or chicken or ham or whatever it is, thawing in the fridge. So one should be ready for today, one should be almost ready for tomorrow, and one should be completely frozen for 2 days from now. Okay, so we always have 3 out, and that works for us. Now we have a bigger family. I didn't do that when I only had 1 or 2 kids, but now we have 5 kids and they eat a lot. So that's what's working for us right now. Now, I will say, thanks to modern technology and the fabulousness of an Instant Pot, you could actually get away with not thawing your meat. And I've done that before, and I love my Instant Pot for that reason, right? You can literally take out completely frozen meat, throw it in that sucker, and still have dinner within 2 hours, and it's a very magical, magical thing. So if you have not given in to the Instant Pot thing, I will say it is great. I never use my slow cooker anymore, my crock pot. I just use my Instant Pot. And I was slow to buy it. I mean, I had been hearing people talk about it for years before I was like, what is the big deal? But really, that's one of the big deals, which is that you can just throw unsoaked beans or frozen meat in it. Those are the 2 things I love the most about it, and still have dinner ready on time. So always be thawing. Number 2. Batch your starches and your veggies, okay? So we make huge batches of rice or potatoes, or if you eat pasta, you could do that. And then we make huge pots of veggies. So I'm either cutting up fresh veggies and roasting them, or I'm doing a bunch of frozen veggies and I'm cooking them all at once. So when I open my fridge, I see Tupperwares of starches and veggies. So that makes it easy for me to just think, okay, I need a meat and some rice and some broccoli, right? And I already have that stuff ready to go. And that means I'm usually only cooking once every 3 or 4 days because I'm making them in huge batches, okay? Number three, and this kind of piggybacks on that, sauces are your friend. You don't need to make crazy involved meals. If you have a meat and a starch and a veggie, you can just throw a sauce on it, right? So pesto sauce, peanut sauce, yellow curry sauce. I mean, that will make your food feel very different, even though what's underneath the sauce is exactly the same. So find sauces that you like and either keep them on hand or keep the ingredients to make them on hand. I'll list a bunch of things that we like below on my website in the blog post that corresponds with this podcast, both just ingredients that we really, really like or sauces or just recipes that we use a lot. But again, you're going to make it your own based on what you like and what your kids like and maybe what your picky pants husband likes. So number four. Streamline whatever you can. And that means really just eating the same thing as often as your family is willing to do it, right? So I've said this many times, my kids eat the same thing for breakfast Monday through Saturday, and then we do fun breakfast on Sunday. I don't have to streamline lunch much because we're usually doing leftovers plus like an apple or a string cheese, something like that. But you know, eat the same thing every Monday. I have a friend who homeschools her large family. She has 2-week menu and they literally eat the same thing every 2 weeks. So she has 14 meals laid out. I believe the lunches are pretty much the same too. And they've just been rocking that for years. So streamline whatever you can. Anyway, if you want a 30-day meal plan and you want to eat the same thing every month, great. Or every week. But what we want to do is we want to take the guesswork out of what are we eating. And I think one of the kind of rookie mistakes that we make when we sit down to do meal planning, especially because it's usually that we haven't been in the habit of meal planning and then all of a sudden we want to, we go out and we find all these recipes and try to build it from scratch instead of thinking about what we eat already. So that brings me to point number five, which is do a 30-day retrospective, okay? If you want to be a meal planner, and I absolutely think you should be, then don't worry about making it happen overnight. Instead, give yourself 30 days, put a calendar sheet on your fridge, and just write down what you're actually eating every day for 30 days. Don't even think about it. Just do whatever you're doing. Whether that's McDonald's or frozen pizza or your favorite go-to recipes, like whatever it is. And then at the end of the 30 days, you'll look back and say, oh, this is what we were eating. And then you can use that to make your meal plan. You'll pull out the things you like or that make everyone happy. You know, we have those meals where everyone likes it. And then I have some meals where I know not everyone likes it, but that's still what I'm making. Okay, so a 30-day retrospective is a great way to kick it off. And don't be down on yourself for wanting to start meal planning, but having to wait 30 days. We're in it for the long run. I want you to be successful. I want you to stop thinking about what you're eating all the time so that you can use that brain energy to tackle more important problems. And so it's worth it to just kind of wait 30 more days and do this exercise. Okay. Number six, plan around leftover meat. So when Thanksgiving rolls around, we buy our Thanksgiving turkey and then we buy 4 extra turkeys, maybe 5, because they're cheap. And we put them in our freezer in the garage. And then several times throughout the year, usually once a quarter, we cook an entire turkey and then we have like a faux Thanksgiving. And then next we use it and we turn it into yellow turkey curry. And then we have some left over and we turn that into, it's like a chicken noodle soup, but it's turkey instead of chicken and we use rice instead of noodles. And it's great. And so even though we're eating turkey all week, it doesn't feel like we're too turkeyed out because those 3 meals feel very different, right? So plan around leftover meat if you're going to have some. Now, when we do ground beef or chicken, it doesn't always last as long as a turkey. Ham lasts for a while. So sometimes we'll just do like a nice ham dinner, and then later I'll turn it into a honey mustard ham thing. What else do we do with ham? We eat that for breakfast a lot too, if we have that around. So pick a meat, but then you can kind of stick with it for a while. And again, that's really the magic of sauces, is that the meat can be the same, but it feels like different meals. Number seven, I already kind of mentioned this, but minimize new recipes. Okay, you do not need to learn any new recipes right now. don't do that unless you're in a really happy place and you have the energy to do it and you enjoy it. Okay? And I have those moments sometimes. Sometimes I will feel like, okay, I want to try something new. And I'll find one thing and I'll get all the stuff and I'll try it. Okay? But I don't do that when I'm throwing up first trimester pregnant. I don't do that when I'm exhausted. I don't do that if we've got a busy week. And I certainly don't do that just because I think I should or because I'm trying to change things up for my family, right? Like, there are enough things to eat that you don't need to try many new things in a month unless you like it. I mean, for some people, cooking and trying new things is their happy place, like gardening or running, okay? If that's you, then great. But if it's not you, stick with things you know right now because we're trying to build a new habit and making it as easy to adopt as possible is what we're fighting for, okay? So minimize new recipes. Just think about it as like a hobby or something fun that you do when you have free time, not something that is going to be part of your week all the time. Number 8, no snacks for you, okay? I've said this before. One of my top parenting pet peeves is kids asking for food all the time. That drives me bonkers, okay? My kids have access to carrots and almonds all the time. Carrots, almonds, and water. If you are hungry or thirsty, you will eat carrots, almonds, or water. And guess what? When they're not really hungry, they don't want carrots or almonds. And when they are, they do eat them. So my kids aren't starving because I don't give them snacks. But guess what? If every time your kids came to you and said, well, I want string cheese or an applesauce pouch or even peanuts, by the way, we discovered that peanuts were sensational enough that they would eat those even if they weren't hungry. And then what happens? Not only have they asked you 1,000 times for those things, and so you're going a little bit crazy, they don't want to eat their lunch or their dinner because they basically just snacked all day. And this is totally true for fruit. I do not give my kids free access to apples, oranges, and bananas. And we almost always have those things. But I give them a banana with breakfast and usually apples and oranges with lunch or dinner. So they get the fruit, but they don't get to decide. And they certainly don't get to ask me for it. And they know that now. And so if you haven't been doing that, remember, it's going to take some time to retrain your children to stop asking you for those things. But no snacks. And you shouldn't be snacking that much either. You know, I mean, a lot of things say, oh, you should have five small meals a day. That has not personally worked great for me. I mean, if you have headaches, then maybe you need, like, really, like I said, 4 or 5 almonds will just give you a boost to get you through to the next thing. So it's kind of a myth, I think, that we should be eating all day long. Because the way Americans do it is they basically just eat mini meals all day long. They're not really like if really you just ate a banana between your meal, you'd be okay. And you're an adult, so you can handle that. Whereas kids just want them because they're sweet. Okay? No snacks. Pick something that they can have all the time, but be really honest with yourself. Like if it's yogurt, they're going to eat that for fun. Okay? Number 9, and this kind of fits in with that, is water. Water, water, water for everyone. Americans do not drink enough water. My kids do not have milk or juice, almost ever. I mean, that is just such a dangerous path to go down, both for just like lots of extra calories and fat on the milk front, and then lots of sugar on the juice front, even if you're diluting it with water. Teach your children to drink water. Teach yourself to drink water. Stop living off coffee and Diet Coke, okay? It's just going to help your food situation because they're going to be getting what they need. And they're not going to be confusing thirst for hunger. My second daughter, my 5-year-old, does that all the time. Oh, I'm hungry. And I'll go, I think you're thirsty. Let's try some water. She'll drink a cup of water and be like, oh, yeah, I guess that was it. Right? It's hard to tell the difference between those two things. So it is a matter of education, maybe for yourself and definitely for your kids. But again, we're trying to minimize the conversations that we're having around food and deciding all the time what we're eating. And number 10, plan for fun. Plan some crummy frozen food and plan eating out because you're going to do it anyway. You're going to get tired and frazzled and you're just going to want to do that. So just plan it. Just plan some stuff that's not healthy or fun and just have it. and then write it down in your meal plan. Okay, you're not going to eat home-cooked meals 3 times a day, 7 days a week. You will not do that. I would not do that. Like, eventually, I just want some Thai food, right? But I budget for it, and I plan it, and so it's not spontaneous, and it's not too often. And we just have to be honest with ourselves about that. All right? So those are my 10 tips for meal planning. I hope that helps you. If you have any more questions, let me know. I will put a bunch of, like I said, recipes and sauces and links and things on the podcast that goes with this, and probably maybe in the email I send out as well. And yeah, let's just talk about meals this week. Anything that you like, feel free to share your favorite recipes, especially if they're cheap or good for large families, or if they fit that paleo thing, you know, little to no dairy, no gluten, no sugar. Right? Those are my favorite things. Like, yellow curry is just so solid, right? It's just healthy. It's yummy. Everyone in my family eats it. It's just like a winner all around. And then I feel like I'm an awesome mom for feeding the kids healthy food. And I like finding things like that are just solid. I also really like things that are all in one pot, right? Like, here's a bowl of your slop. I love that. So anytime that I can get away with that, I try to. All right, ladies, I hope that's helpful. I love meal. I don't really meal plan. I just do the cooking meat, starches, and veggies and throwing a sauce on it is usually what I do. So I'm not usually writing it out for the week, but I always have the things on hand that I like. And so it's pretty easy. Food just doesn't stress me out because we streamlined it enough that it works for us. I hope you're having a wonderful Lenten season, or perhaps an awful penitential Lenten season. That feels appropriate too. Thanks so much for listening to Coffee and Pearls, and have a blessed day.